Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave.
Hey, Father Dave, it's good to see you via distance. For you listeners out there wondering why Father Dave sounds so far and distant and so audibly difficult, it's because Father Dave purchased a microphone without consulting anybody. You know, let's not talk to the guy who's a musician. Let's not talk to anybody in a studio. Let's just go online and, ooh, it's reviewed well.
Yeah.
And it's really cheap.
Yeah. I went online and I said, small travel podcast microphones cheap. This was a baby. I don't know why anyone would ever spend a lot of money for a microphone.
Yeah, really. Well, maybe we'll find out by the end of this podcast.
Well, maybe we won't.
Father Dave shared this with us while we were watching The Mandalorian, and he was in a room with two other musicians. So all of us have a little bit of savvy about microphones.
Okay, and so don't say the brand.
I won't say the brand, but when he mentioned the brand, we all just fell over laughing hysterically. Like, oh my gosh. And this microphone is like the size of your thumb.
Can I just say at that moment, I thought, maybe I've made a mistake.
Maybe just slightly. So I'm sure we can fix it in post. I'm sure however bad you sound, it's going to come out great.
And for the record, it is smaller than my thumb, although I've always thought I've had big thumbs. But it's, again.
I've heard people say that about you a lot. In fact, even before you got elected, they're like, oh, Mr. Big Thumbs is going to be president.
Yeah. You're gonna be sorry you mocked this microphone.
I already am.
Mocking it or sorry?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay. Well, that's great. I hope everyone's well today and just being blessed couple of days before Christmas. So that's awesome.
Yeah, you're going to hear this on Wednesday. We record on Mondays. So we're in our last stretch of the week before Christmas. You know, I love in the breviary how like they just have the dates, you know, that are connected. Yeah. I just think that's a fun moment. It's like, oh, wait, it's December 22nd. Yeah. And there's a specific reading for December 22nd. It's a really fun countdown.
And the reading that the church is honestly doing. It's just such a great time. Advent, I love Advent and the office of readings and the prayers in the last several days. You can literally feel the anticipation of that. So that's a great blessing.
And then into the Christmas season. I mean,
speaking of Christmas,
it's a fantastic time. Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas, you poked the bear. This whole Christmas.
Whoa. Yeah. You brought this up. You decided to have a breakthrough in group and share it with our, dare I say, dozens of listeners. And this is all you, man. Like you showed your true colors. But you know what? We want to be raw and authentic.
Yeah,
that's part of what this podcast is. We're edgy.
People DM me and post it. It's like, what do you mean you don't like Christmas? I didn't say I didn't like them. I said I don't like them very much. And there's a difference.
Did you think of one, though, afterwards, after that conversation?
No. My feeling hasn't substantially changed.
Wait.
All right.
I thought of one.
Okay.
A Christmas Story.
Which one is? Oh, that's with the little kid.
Okay. Ralphie.
I will give you that. That is a great Christmas.
That is a great Christmas movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Christmas-esque. It's a major prize.
Yes, you're right.
It's so good.
You're right.
My wife does not like the movie, but she likes that I like the movie. And that movie and Dumb and Dumber are the two kind of on the no-fly list.
Yeah, with her.
She's like, I'll watch anything except those movies. She just hates dumb humor. And she married the wrong person.
Whoa.
I know, right? I've made my living on dumb humor.
Wow, she's not one of those dozen of listeners, I'm going to take it.
No, she's not. She'll listen to this in February at some point and be like, no, I listened to it.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We should drop what are they called? Easter eggs or something like that?
They are called Easter eggs.
Well, no, like at the end of it, so we'll find out if your wife is actually really listening.
Right.
You say, Jen, if you're listening today, I'm going to give you whatever, and we'll find out if she's actually, is that what that called, Easter eggs?
Easter eggs are like little hidden references in podcasts. So that could be. I mean, she's not as avid of a listener as, say, Kelly Beatty is. So, but she's out there. Well, it's all good.
That's good.
Hey,
that's good.
What about Christmas songs? I ask?
Uh-oh.
Is it the same thing?
No, actually. Some of the Christmas songs just, like, honestly, probably all the time. when I hear O Holy Night, you know, on Christmas Eve, that's just a beautiful, beautiful Christmas mm-hmm. song. Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be the best one out there, I think.
Yeah, it is. And there's just so much, also, there's just so much history and emotion.
The other verses are amazing. You know, when you hear it on the radio, at least, they only do one verse, but there's two other verses to the song, and they're just profoundly beautiful. Sometimes they get sung at, you know, sometimes at Christmas liturgies. I think one of the reasons why the other verses actually have to do with him dying, like him being born to die and coming, you know, and I think
it's a little much for the sensitivities of the. Yeah.
Well, certainly in the secular world, yeah. I think it was Fulton Sheen that said you can't separate the cradle from the cross.
No, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, because that's exactly what St. Francis saw: the crib, the cross, and the Eucharist. That those three things cannot be separated.
All right. Well, we'll save that for a section a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah, but you know, Christmas songs. One of the things I was thinking of, and this is. So my mom is German, so
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, she loves it, and it means that we got good food. So, but there was the song "Silent Night." I think was written in near Austria, near Salzburg, Austria, and mm-hmm. so you know, "Silent Night" in English, but then also in German. We were there in Salzburg one time, and it's just beautiful. Actually, this is a beautiful Christmas custom that in I don't know all across Europe, but it, certainly in Austria, on Christmas Eve, you gather in the cemeteries. Okay, I'm going to share this story. This is going to take just a little bit of time, but it's just so cool.
All right.
Okay, so many weeks before Christmas, in Austria, they choose a child, a boy and a girl, and they get on a plane and they fly to the Holy Land, and then they go to Bethlehem, and then they light a candle, which they call the Christmas candle, and then they fly back to Vienna. So this light that comes from Bethlehem.
And then, wait a second. So they get on a plane with a lit candle?
Yeah, it must be private. I mean, it's been done for a long time, so it must be private. I don't know how they work. Don't ask questions like that, Bob.
I'm sorry. Okay. Keep going. This is a wonderful story.
So then what they do is all across Austria on a certain time during Advent, they go to Vienna, and everybody has their, like a representative of every parish has their own candle. And then they take that back to their parish churches. Again, the Christmas light. And then the night before Christmas, everybody goes to their parish with a little candle. It's often carried in a little, like a lantern type thing. And then they process. It's really beautiful in a small village in Austria. Then they process from the church to the local cemetery. And they gather in the cemetery of their loved ones, and they pray for their loved ones. They sing Silent Night, which is obviously they speak German. Right. It gets me back to the story of that. But it's just beautiful. So on Christmas Eve, if you go by a cemetery, there's little votive lights on every grave. And there's just this it's really, really beautiful. So I remember one time Mom and Dad and I were in Salzburg, Christmas Eve, having participated in that custom of the local people. It was just wonderful.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Silent Night's another beautiful song.
Yep.
I love these. I love the Christian Christmas songs. You know, the ones that really proclaim Christ's birth.
That's nice, given that you didn't like any Christmas movies.
Okay, there's not like a lot of movies that are specifically about Jesus being born.
See, that was my point that you mocked last week.
Well, yeah, it's worth mocking, because that doesn't mean the other ones are bad. Okay, so like secular Christmas songs, what's your favorite secular, like non-Jesus, just joy, you know, Spirit of the Season song? Do you have one, or do you just hate all those?
I don't know. I couldn't say that I can name one of them, so I don't know that.
I'll just start naming some.
Okay. That's great.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Lovely. Love it. Love it. That's a nice song. Sure.
What's the one? Chestnuts roasting on an open. I think that's just called the Christmas song.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah.
Those are all right.
I like lots of Christmas
jingle
songs.
Bells.
Sure. Lovely.
You just don't want to, you're just so callous from your response last week. You're going to say
so.
You like everything.
I think so.
How about Daddy, Please Don't Get Drunk for Christmas by John Denver?
I'm not familiar with that one, but I think
it's a heartbreaking tale.
Would it be
it's a heartbreaking
anything
tale.
Like a Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, something like that?
It's even more tragic.
Okay,
because it's just too realistic.
As we talk, I'm looking for this meme that somebody was sending. It was really funny. It went something to the effect of, what as Jesus is being placed, you know, for a nap and he's finally asleep, the little boy says, "Oh, I know what this woman needs. I'm going to play a drum solo." So I butchered that, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. There's nothing like explaining memes verbally on a podcast. We should, why don't we talk about Franciscan University? You know, we have a lot of amazing business programs at Franciscan University. And as a part of their studies, our business students can take theology courses such as Catholic social teaching. So they really get a beautiful blend of really understanding economy and business in the eyes of faith, in the eyes of the church. The course uses papal encyclicals and other church documents to examine business ethics, poverty, and the distribution of wealth and other major issues students will encounter in business. It's just one of the many ways the Catholic worldview is infused into all six of Franciscan University's undergraduate business programs of accounting, economics, finance, international business, management, and marketing. And you can learn more about Franciscan's faith-focused business programs at franciscan.edu. And it's a timely reminder because so much of this time is sadly focused on consumerism as we're celebrating the birth of a child in abject poverty. So there's certainly some irony there, I think.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But they're fantastic programs.
No, and actually the Catholic, to be able to study that within a Catholic environment, Catholic teaching is just, actually, it's really important. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a great grace.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Christmas, though. We teased it a bit.
You were talking about just that word grace. I thought, oh my goodness, it's such a great term. So
yeah, it is amazing. So the cradle and the cross and the Eucharist. Tell us more about St. Francis's understanding of this season.
Well, first off, it's beautiful in that for St. Francis, the greatest feast is actually not Easter, it would be Christmas, is that it was just beyond him to imagine the almighty, omnipotent, all holy, all good, all glorious God would take on flesh. This was more than he could imagine or thought that anybody had a reasonable expectation that this would actually happen. So that's part of the reason of the nativity scene. And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that's a Franciscan devotion because Francis just thought...
That wasn't around before Francis.
No, uh-uh. So, right, Francis started in a little town called Greccio. And the thought was for Francis, if people could see what God has done, that their hearts would be moved. And so they had that first nativity scene with live animals. And there was an image during that night of prayer and they had mass together where somebody saw that Jesus was asleep and nobody could wake him up. And St. Francis took the child, Jesus, and the child woke up. And this has been St. Francis's ministry, waking up Jesus in the hearts of people and did allowing them to be able to see and recognize.
Did he do that with a drum solo?
He might have.
So St. Francis was the little drummer boy.
The little drummer boy. He was a troubadour. He was
there
a
troubadour. There you go. Boom.
Yeah. So, but that was in. So then to finish the scene, that if God would take on flesh, Francis couldn't imagine that same God who would take on flesh would actually die and allow himself to be humiliated. And the common theme in this is, and then Francis would reflect on this, the humility of God. And that's not something that we necessarily pray or think about, but the humility that God humbles himself, took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of man. And then he once again humbles himself and allows himself to be crucified. And then the last would be, again, in that theme, that God would once again humble himself and come to us in Eucharist.
Yeah.
So it was really, in the early times of the Nativity, there would have the crib that would be underneath, you know, with the straw and all that, underneath the altar, but the child Jesus wasn't placed in the crib. The thought was every time Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist, every time he comes to us on the altar, that he fills this crib. Beautiful, beautiful images that St. Francis provides us for reflection and devotion.
And I love that image of, you know, Christ coming to us so humbly in the Eucharist. And in some ways, you know, we're a bit arrogant as human beings because
a little bit,
yeah, right?
That's fair.
I was going to say, but no, like just part of our arrogance that we often don't think much of Jesus becoming flesh But then some people are like, but how could he become present in the Eucharist?
Yeah, and exactly. Like, which is it more of a miracle?
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's like, I don't know if this is that big of a deal for God, you know, like the omnipotent, all present,
really
everything, you know, like flesh, bread. He's like, I could do whatever I want. You know, I'm kind of God
really
there. But
that's really funny.
I love studying theology of Christ. And one of the things that you learn in theology of Christ is just how did this, how was Jesus fully God and fully man like us in all things but sin? And the church uses the language of person and nature, you know, which is to say that all of us have both of these, right? I have a person that's my essence, that's my identity, unlike anybody else, but I have a nature, which is human nature, which I don't share with others, but other peoples have their own human nature. Well, when we look at God, God has a divine nature. You know, if you say, what is he? He is God, right? That's the nature. But then who is God? We would say, well, God is Father, God is Son, and God is Spirit. There's three persons with one nature. This is where the math gets kind of fun. Well, that one person, Jesus, took on humanity and took on a human nature. So Jesus, this one person of the Trinity, now has his divine nature, which he doesn't lose, but he gains a human nature. So he's one person, two natures, one divine person with a divine nature and a human nature. And in our nature is our intellect and our will, right? Because even like animals have nature and they have a sense of intellect and will that's present. So Jesus had a human intellect. Jesus had a human will. And he didn't cheat on that. Right? Like if I had the option to like plug in, you know, like know every language on planet Earth, you know, like I would just be plugging into that all the time. In fact, I would never do anything with the human nature. I'd just be like, whatever.
Yeah.
The divine nature is so much better. But in his humility, I mean, he really was like us in all things but sin. He had to learn how to read and write. He had to learn how to walk. I mean, just all those things that come into being human. And then we see in the garden, he had to say, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And what's he talking about? He's talking about his human will of not wanting to die, surrendering it to the divine will. And that's how he was like us in all things. Because if he just play-acted this human experience, it wouldn't be genuine. We couldn't say he was like us in all things but sin. And the fact that that was available, like at his fingertips, at any moment, he could have maybe just flicked that switch and didn't. Yeah, the humility of God. I mean, what he was willing to go through for us. And that all begins with the incarnation. You know, these decades of public life where he was just
a dude in Nazareth. Just a guy in Nazareth and so humble. And yeah, again, to go back to St. Francis, that a baby that needed to be changed, that needed to be fed, that cried. The other thing that it invites us to do is that we share in that part of him, right?
Yeah.
That we share in human nature. I think altar and Christmas should always remind us this, the goodness of God, absolutely, but the goodness of human nature. I think people sometimes apologize for being human. I mean, that is what we are, and we should be celebrating that. That Jesus takes on flesh and humanity is forever changed because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was funny, you were talking about the Christology and that. The vast majority of our heresies are around those things that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Right. And it's you can just accidentally say a word and make it the whole the different meaning and change. I remember in seminary we said the Trinity is a mystery, and the mystery is that you can't say anything about it, but you can't say everything about it. You know, it's just so. Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
We always joke with our catechetic students on campus, you know, the language has to be so precise. And one of the things we say is, please, whatever you do after you graduate, do not have a heresy named after you.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know?
That's right.
Just by getting something wrong.
Yeah, racism. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. Although, it's pretty hard. Most heresies are just rehashed something else. So unless you can think of a new one, that would be good. If you can think of a new one.
There you go.
Why don't you work on that, Bob?
Yeah. Neo-racism.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a treat. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, hopefully, you know, around the Christmas tree this year, you'll have a plate of neo-racism.
There you go.
Sprinkled with whatever.
Yeah, it is great. It just, yeah, it's just a great time to be. Actually, is I'm home. I'll be leaving the day 2 days before Christmas. But I was with my mom and my dad. My brother, we had his committal a couple of days ago, so I was just able to spend a couple of days at home with my family, which was great. But Christmas, there's something about family on Christmas, you know, that's just really important, really blessed. So I would say to everybody, love your family, reach out to your family, be thankful for your family.
Yeah, amen. And our prayers go to all of those like you, Father Dave, where there's somebody that you used to be able to call every Christmas and isn't at the other end of the phone. I
Yeah,
think
that's
there's so much joy in this time, but there's also a lot of pain for those that have lost loved ones and friends. You just become, even if it happened like 10 or 11 months ago, or even if it happened 3 or 4 years
It's
ago,
your first Christmas, or exactly, Bob.
I always have that little bit of a pain when I call home and it's just my mom answering the phone and I can't
Yeah,
wish my dad a Merry Christmas. So, but praise God for that. Praise God for family. Praise God for the memories. You know, that's another beautiful thing about this time, or just the memories that
Amen.
just are almost indelible. You know, there's something about it that just brings it all back. And remembering is such an important part of our lives, such an important part of who we are, really,
That's
and
cool.
such an
All
important
right,
part of the faith.
so I'm going to say, do we have anything to plug today? Because if we don't, then I'm going to have a suggestion.
I do not.
Okay, so here's my suggestion. So oftentimes we have a little plug here for somebody who's done something or written something or done a music. Here's my plug. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody that you may know that Christmas is going to be difficult, or and drop them a note, write them a note, give them a call. This is a time to be together and to support each other and to care for one another and reach out to one another. And we have our Christmas cards, which are great. And actually, are you a fan of doing Christmas? No. The Rice Christmas cards come in February. As soon as I said that, that's right. Your family is notorious for.
We're like a pre-Lent,
Yeah, that's
you
right.
know,
That's
Christmas.
right.
So we don't want to get caught up in the white noise of everybody else's Christmas
No,
card. So
you do
we
not.
try to
That's right.
make our own
Usually comes
entrance.
in
Sometimes
mid-February.
it's even Easter. Sometimes we just do an
That's
Easter
funny.
card.
As soon as I said that, I remembered that. But and Christmas cards are nice, but just here's my challenge to all of our listeners. Reach out to somebody, you know, in the next day or two, unexpected phone call, unexpected note, something like that, just to be able to let them know you're thinking about them.
And I would say to those of you, we're all having a kind of different Christmas. I'm not going to be with all my family this year, and many of you out there have changed Christmas plans, especially if you've got family in different parts of the country. We can mourn that loss, but look for Christ in the unexpected moments.
Amen.
You know,
Amen,
Jesus is
Robert.
going to do something special this year. And I think as we come to an end of this year, and many of us have been eager for it to end, just to be aware of the blessings. You know, what has God been doing in your life? What is He doing immediately in that moment? How might you celebrate Christmas in a different way? And it might be an opportunity just to kind of reset our focus back to what it's really about. I mean, it's a bit cliched, but Jesus is the reason for the season, and He hasn't left us. He is still present to us. And in many ways, maybe all the changes of circumstances can kind of jolt us into an awareness of what the season is about.
Amen. So, Bob, when you think back of this year, which has just been a year like none other, please, Lord, like none other, what were such just some moments of grace, same top one or two moments of just the Lord's presence, grace moments?
Well, I would say one of the biggest things, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was how glad I was to be in diaconate formation this year. You know, just to have, you know, there's two others in formation, and I mean, they're really, you know, they're my brothers. They're my brothers in Christ. We've gotten to really love each other and grow in faith with each other. And even as everything was hitting and everything was being canceled, though our formation went online, it was something like sturdy. You know, it was something that I knew
The
would keep
anchor.
happening. And it also gave me a sense of hope, you know, that I'd be able to look forward to, you know, God willing, next year, November of 2021, to be ordained. And to know that even with everything going on, that didn't alter that plan. I had a lot of things that got taken away or altered or changed. That trajectory didn't move. And for me, it was a constant sign of God's faithfulness in the midst of this and that calling in my life that, nope, I'm not going to let this be changed in one bit. And it reminded me that if there are other things being changed, then that was you know, a part of it. Then the other thing is, it's almost cliche, but family. You know, yeah. I loved spending more time with family, being intentional with that time with family, some difficult times with family, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were some things in my family that we had to address that we probably should have addressed years ago, but it's easy just to, you know, dodge it, avoid it, not talk about it. And, you know, particularly with some members of our family, it was like, all right,
that's cool.
We just got to deal with this, and praise be Jesus. We're just living in a better place of freedom with some of
that. That's awesome. And so, that's awesome.
Though that was a very hard thing, I can't help but think that that was very intentional of God. Cause
that's cool.
In the busyness of life, I would have just kept traveling and doing things not trying to, you know, hoping it would just go away by itself. And of course it does.
That rarely happens.
Yeah, exactly. How about yourself?
Yeah, When I think of it, well, the first thing that comes to my mind was actually Pentecost this year. We had obviously, again, I never imagined having masses in churches closed. That just was never something that I thought or imagined. And on that note, I would just say how appreciative I was. We got a letter, as you did, Bob, in our diocese in Steubenville, from our local bishop that said he will never close public liturgies again. He said, I just want everyone to know with everything that's going on, I will never do that again. And actually, when I was talking to the bishop and he was telling me that, I got emotional. There was just the sense of, thank you, Jesus, because I don't know what I would have done if we had to do that again. But our Pentecost liturgy was just beautiful. It needed to be an outdoor liturgy. So if you've been on campus, there's the hill that goes kind of this big grassy area that's just a really pretty area on campus. And we gathered together, and it was the first time we had public liturgy again. So it was the first public liturgy, and we were spread out on the grass, and it was just beautiful. I had a beautiful liturgy, and then we had a picnic. So I just invited everybody to bring picnic dinner, and then we had an hour of Eucharistic adoration with the procession and worship. And it was just such, after everything we'd gone through for the 2 months, it was such a beautiful,
yeah,
a beautiful experience. So that kind of, when I think back of this year, that was a huge highlight. And then honestly, I might say the next was the first day of classes when I looked out my window in my office and students were walking up and down the sidewalk on the way to class, on the way back from class. They were excited to be there. They were excited to be together again. I don't know how excited they were about studying again, but they were, you know.
In the beginning, you don't have to worry about studying. Right, you're just trying to find where your class is. Yeah.
Right. So that was just a great blessing. So that's great. And when I think of next year, I would say, okay, Bob, we have to each give one bold projection or thing for next year. Now, we do know that Notre Dame made it to the finals.
Championship, right?
Yeah, the championship. So they have the pleasure of playing Alabama. So my bold prediction is that Notre Dame is going to beat Alabama. And you heard it here first.
Nice.
My brother and I have a bet. My younger brother Tom and I have a bet. We made it about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago that Notre Dame would win a national championship before I turned 60. So
that already passed a few years ago, right?
Would you stop it? That's not even funny.
Oh, sorry.
So I've got 5 more years to win a national championship. So that's what we're looking at right there. So that's my bold prediction, that Notre Dame will beat Alabama. Something really substantial and important.
That's important. Well, I'll stay on that deep level. I'm going to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to make it to the playoffs and are going to win a playoff game.
Wow.
I'm not swinging for the rafters, but for a Tampa Bay Bucs fan, that would just be awesome.
The fact that you said that and I didn't start laughing.
Like I bought a crappy microphone or anything like that without talking to people about it.
Words hurt, Bob. Words hurt.
That's true. All right. Anything serious though? Like any, what do you see?
Honestly, 2021? I'll be say, I'm really excited and have become more excited about the year of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
I was at some meetings last week and just talking about different things that we'll do when we have opportunities. Like one of the things I want to do on campus is have a special day for all fathers. you know, all the guys on campus that are fathers do a day of retreat for them. And so honestly, I'm from that perspective, I'm really excited for this year of fatherhood.
I loved, you know, obviously we had to revise our campus schedule. You know, we're starting a little bit late. We're not doing spring break, you know, just in light of things. But I like how you had on the schedule, you know, March 19th, St. Joseph Day, no classes.
No classes.
We're I think that's just beautiful that we are going to take that day off, and hopefully, I'm sure we'll do some prayer reflection kind of retreat stuff for that day. That'll be fantastic.
And yeah, obviously my prayers can be what everyone is in one sense, is that we get back to normal in our country, and COVID is a thing of the past. But I've continued to pray and mentioned it. The Holy Father on March 27th said that this is a time for us to refocus our priorities. And I was hoping we would be through this by now, but we're not. But my prayer would be that we continue to do that, no matter where people are, that they refocus on what matters the most. Like you were saying earlier, that it was an opportunity for you and your family to refocus on what it is to be family. Let's not waste that grace.
Yeah, amen. And you know, as we head into this new year, I know a lot of times it's a wonderful time of looking back. It's a great time of reflecting and making resolutions. And I just might encourage everybody listening, think about what kind of resolutions you can make that are different. I mean, yes, I'm always like, okay, I want to lose some weight. I want to get into a workout regimen. I want to, you know, I look at my finances. You know, I always have, you know, those kind of resolutions, and those are nice. But what is something out of maybe a good New Year's revolution? It is a revolution. A resolution and a revolution is to reflect, what was something good that happened this last year that you want to hold on to, that as things get back to normal, and I believe they will. I really believe they will. But as they get back to normal, what is it that you can hold on to from this experience? I know for me personally, I'm just trying to rethink my job, the way I teach, the ministry, the travel. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about this year is that it's forced a lot of the church to get more technologically savvy. Even doing this podcast has been such a blessing, you know, through this, and thanks Father Dave for doing this together. I'm able to reach out to more people, and that's part of my passion, and that's part of what the Lord wants me to do. How can I reach out to more people and still be present to my family? Certainly as I'm heading towards ordination, be present, more present in the diocese. I mean, the whole reason I'm you know, feeling called to be a deacon is to do more local ministry. So yeah, I mean, maybe just some of those thoughts for all of you as you're thinking towards the next year. How can you hold on to the blessings that you've gotten without losing it as we return back to quote unquote normal?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to think of something else, Bob. I think that's a great idea. What were things that you or your family were forced to do because of circumstances and realize, oh my goodness, that was great grace. And that would be well worthy of reflection and prayer at the end of this year. So that's awesome.
Amen.
Well, then let's pray.
Yeah. And we don't have a podcast next week.
Oh, that's right.
So we're going to take Christmas break off, but we will be back in the new year. And so we certainly want to thank all of you. This has been a great, I think we're on our, I lost track, 14th podcast. We've been doing this for 3 or 4 months, and it's been a joy, and we look forward to doing it in the new year as well. Thank you guys for being great listeners. Thanks for all the ways you're reaching out. Please keep reaching out to us at hope@franciscan.edu.
We're a little underwhelmed recently with emails.
I think everybody's busy with Christmas and whatnot.
But the other is that other people, there's so many other ways to reach out. I mean, people have DM'd me and posted those kinds of things, but that's, we really do. We don't want this, just to be us having a good time. So
though that's okay. I'm actually, if that's the okay lowest too. Bar, I'm totally
that's
fine.
That's okay. But if there's something, you know, if there's something you'd like us to talk about or to address, we are happy to do that. In fact, we're begging to do that. So
we're looking for material.
So let's just, Lord, we just thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the way your grace has come to us this year. Honestly, many times in not ways that we expected. Truth be told, some ways not ways that we particularly wanted. But we believe as people of faith that you are the Lord of all, and that you live and reign in all circumstances. ask your blessing to be upon those who are listening and their families during this time of Christmas, that they would experience the grace that is the incarnation, Jesus becoming flesh. One of my favorite texts is from the reading that we'll hear in the next couple of days, God is with us. So may God, who is with you, be more present to you and bless you and your family. And may God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, everybody, once again for listening. We're praying for you during this Christmas season, and we will see you in the new year. Remember, you can reach us at hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. God bless. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.